Family Post recommends polite conversation on topics like the weather. But the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's magazine, The Lutheran Witness, is no Emily Post. Go to cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues and receive the March issue covering controversial topics like climate change, overpopulation, and the intersection of science and theology. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
Right in the middle of probably the tensest, the biggest week of his entire ministry, Jesus does something. You would think that at a time when he knows he's about to suffer, he knows what's about to happen. He's about to depart from his disciples to go, at least temporarily, into the hands of his enemies and into the hands of the Romans. He is about to be betrayed. He knows this too. All of these things must surely be on his mind. He is going to the goal which his Father had set for him by sending him into the world, God incarnate, to suffer in his body the full penalty of the sins of the whole world at the cross. This is what Jesus is about to do. And he desires to eat one last meal with his disciples. Now, if it were you or me, we might do something like live it up one last time. But Jesus does something with this meal rather unexpected, even to his disciples, that Passover meal. And he gives them, through this Passover meal, something entirely new. He even calls it the New Covenant or the New Testament. We call it the Lord's Supper because it is his supper. We'll be talking about it as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday, March the 21st. Pastor Tom Baker joins us here on Issues, Etc. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Todd.
This really indicates the importance of the Lord's Supper, that Jesus would institute this on this very, very important last night among his disciples. Talk about that.
We don't often realize how critical the Passover is to the people from the Old Testament books. The Passover was the highest festival for Judaism at that time. They commemorated it every year in the springtime. And in fact, it was always on the first month of the Jewish New Year. And on that particular day, it was the 14th of Nisan, it's called, where they would remember what happened when they were taken out of the land of Egypt. If one wants to ask, what was the great salvific event found in the Old Testament books, it would definitely be leaving Egypt, crossing through the Red Sea to the Promised Land. And that can be likened now to the New Testament, where the New Covenant is inaugurated. We'll talk more about that in a few moments. By Jesus, as he goes the way of the cross, in order to take many who are believers into the new land. So that night of the Passover, when the angel of death passed over the doors upon which the blood of the Lamb had been put, so also Jesus' blood means that the angel of death will pass over us when we enter into the kingdom of heaven eternally.
So Jesus is intentionally drawing from the Old Testament Passover in order to institute the new thing that he's going to give his disciples.
Yes. In fact, in John 1:29, John the Baptizer says, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Isaiah 53:7, Jesus' path to death is like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. In Revelation 5:12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And in 1 Corinthians 5:7, it refers to Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. And it's of some note that during the meal on that Maundy Thursday that we think of, there was no mention of a lamb. But there might have been one there, but instead Jesus now was to become the Lamb of God that's come to take away the sin of the world.
So how is this connected, before we get into the particulars of the Lord's Supper, how is this connected in Jesus' mind to what he is about to undergo, his suffering and his death?
The Passover lamb was indicated as a sacrifice, and when one put the blood over the doorway, the lintels and the top of the door, it meant that the angel of death would pass over. This was kind of a prophecy looking forward to the one whose blood would be shed. Remember, the Old Testament talks about cursed is the one who hangs on a tree. And Psalm 22, pierced in hands and feet, even refers to Jesus' very words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Isaiah 53, that he was whipped for our transgressions. And Isaiah 53 is excellent. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, while it looked like to the unbelievers that Jesus was the one who was being punished by God for his sins, he actually was being punished for their sins. And the essence of the cross is that Jesus took the punishment that should have come to me, you, and the whole world.
So when he takes up the task of instituting the Lord's Supper, he takes parts of the Passover meal, like the bread and one of the cups of wine, but he does something new with it. Talk about that, Tom.
Yes, this is something they had never heard, in particular since the blood of the lamb was never to be drunk by the people. It was only to be used for the purpose of the sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 17 teaches that the life of an animal's flesh is in its blood. And in fact, if they consumed it, they would receive a curse. So here is where Jesus does something entirely new, because he tells his disciples not only that they should eat his body in with and under the bread, but they should also drink his blood in with and under the wine. And since the life was in the blood, it was very obvious to the disciples that by drinking the blood of Jesus, they were now going to be participating in his life, since it is his blood that was shed for them.
And this is something that Jesus is using just plain, simple language here. He's not making any attempt to explain away what he's saying here. The disciples had to have been, at least initially, quite shocked.
Yes, in a recent adult instruction class, I said, I'm a pastor. I'm not to explain how things happen. I am to reveal what happened. So that when Jesus says, this bread is my body, this cup, that is what's contained in it, that's metonymy, it's called, the wine is my blood, it is really interesting that nobody argues with Jesus. No, that can't be. You're contradicting Leviticus 17 or something like that. But they simply do it. It kind of reminds us last week's lesson, Todd, where the man who is born blind has mud put on his eyes. Jesus tells him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And guess what? He goes. In other words, God, with his means of grace, gives us the gift of faith to believe that which God is saying is true, and therefore we have millions of Christians every Sunday come forward to receive what they understand to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about the Lord's Supper, the account from Luke chapter 22, as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 21st. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel.
Faith in American Christianity is most often seen as an act of will. It's a desire, it's an attitude, it's a habit.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran view of depression.
But what happens when you have a mental illness? Whether we're talking about depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or any number of mental illnesses, all of these mess with your brain, your ability to interact with the outside world. How does God work in that kind of circumstance?
You can meet and hear Pastor Todd Peppercorn June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, talking about the Lord's Supper according to Luke's account in Luke chapter 22. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, has several very helpful chapters, on one on the Lord's Supper in particular, and one on the means of grace. They help you understand both the context we're talking about here, the biblical context of the institution, but also the differences between the Lutheran view of these things, that would be the biblical view, and the view of the Lord's Supper held by many other Christians. You can find it all in the Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, let's talk a little bit about what is happening when Jesus gives this, he gives the Lord's Supper to his disciples, and after he has given it to them, almost immediately, they begin to argue about who is the greatest. This leads to kind of a ruckus here. But Jesus connects this very much to the fact that he is going to be betrayed within, well, we will learn soon, within hours of this happening.
Yes. A dispute also rose among them, that begins with verse 24, which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and as the leader, the one who serves." Because the point he's making is there is a distinction in the two kingdoms. In the temporal kingdom, yes, one would say that the president of the United States, the governor of a state, a mayor of a city, has more authority, and therefore he's greater than the common man. But in the spiritual realm, This is an important night because it's called Maundy Thursday. And when I was a kid, I used to think, can't they make up their mind? Is it Monday or Thursday? But the word Maundy is M-A-U-N-D-Y from the word for mandatum, meaning commandment. And what was the new commandment? It's not in this particular text, but don't do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but do unto others as I have done to you. And if you look at Philippians, what we find is Jesus always looks out for the interest of others. And therefore, the idea of trying to figure out who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God flies in the face of what the sacrament is providing them. There's one point, and I was so glad to see this in the Growing in Christ series, and it fits in here, Todd. This idea, do this in remembrance of me. For a while, because of a professor and some courses I've taken, I believe a more proper translation is not do this in remembrance of me, as though the Lord's Supper is a way of remembering that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I like to translate it as do this in my remembrance of you. And here in the Growing in Christ series, and this was written by Karl Roth, he writes the following. I thought it was great. Namely, that when Jesus says, do this for my remembrance is the better translation, so that Jesus would remember the promises he made at the Last Supper. And he gives a couple of examples, like the rainbow was not only to remind the people that God would never again destroy the world with a flood, but it was also to remind God as a kind of a remembrance. And I think that is really critical, because what is happening in the Lord's Supper is God is remembering his promises to his people to give them the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, there's now no distinction between Jew and Gentile, woman and man, free or slave. So this whole argument about who is going to be better in the kingdom of God flies in the face of the true spiritual teaching that one finds in the precious supper of our Lord.
So the kids in the Sunday school, some of them will be too young. They may still be being instructed in these things. Someone would say, we'll just leave that to pastor. He'll instruct them when they get to confirmation class about the Lord's Supper. Why do even our youngest children need to begin learning about the precious gift that is given us in Christ's body and blood?
Well, at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, we're nearing the end of confirmation of the grades 6, 7, and 8, and those in grade 8 will be confirmed. And what I've been making again and again is right now, they can rely on their baptism as the assurance that they have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. But we continue to sin each and every day. And so a proper understanding of the Lord's Supper, in that the only people who are to receive it and are worthy to receive it are those who confess that they are unworthy to receive it. Because that's what God wants to hear. Because then you become worthy, since the Lord's Supper is kind of the spiritual medicine for those who are sick. And so we prepare the confirmands, and we can talk to the children about this, that God has another sign of how he is keeping his promise. Just like when you look up in a rainbow, you can say, ah, that's God's promise. He won't destroy the world again with a flood. So also now, when you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in, with, and under the bread and the wine, it is a promise of God that you have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins in his remembrance of you.
Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
And next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Peter denying Jesus. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Molly Hemingway about the confirmation hearings for Neil Gorsuch, and we'll get a review of the movie that is breaking box office records, Beauty and the Beast. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. It's never too early to begin teaching our children what Christ has given us. This is his very body and blood. And with this body and blood, he delivers to us forgiveness, life, and salvation. The very body that was laid down as a sacrifice at the cross and taken up again in the resurrection now gives life to all who receive it. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery dice, un mundo secular tiene necesidad profunda de cristianos pensativos y racionales. Este mes, lea más de Dr. Montgomery y otros expertos de las ciencias y la teología por suscribir a The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's The Lutheran Witness. Visite acph.org/trylutheranwitness para una oferta especial, 6 revistas mensuales por $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva luterana.